Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Gimel. And we begin by the Mishnah, about 6-7 lines down from the top. The Mishnah is now going to be telling us things that a man is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos. The first group of items are talking about various weapons. We just concluded with talking about certain types of protective armor that a person can't go out with at the end of the last Mishnah, so now we talk about weapons. The Mishnah starts as follows. Lo yetzei ha'ish, a man can't go out. Lo b'sayif, can't go out with a sword. Lo b'keshes, not with a bow and arrow. V'lo b'tris, not with some sort of a shield. V'lo b'alah, and alah, Rashi will tell us, and the Mishnah is something called a kofa, which he says is matsuka, which sounds like the word mace, which is what it is probably most likely to, or we'll see that on the Masoras HaShas, he brings down the two opinions. One opinion is that it's some sort of a club, as it says on the side, shevet shemakinbo veroshuav, some sort of a wide club at the top. At the club part, it's wide. Alternatively, he brings down from the Aruch that it's something that is domila makel, something that's like a stick, berosho ogul, it has some sort of a circular head, kimo kadur, like a ball, and that would be a mace. So this Allah over here is a weapon. You can't go out with this as well. Likewise, below Baromach, he can't go out with a spear. All of these are different weapons. The Tanakhama says that if you go out with these on Shabbos, you're carrying them in your hand, so these are Isur Daraisa to carry from your house, from the Shusha Yochid, into the Shusha Rabim, or to carry them Dalar Amos in the Shusha Rabim, and therefore if the person did this unintentionally, he'd be Chayiv Echatas. Now, these are mostly carried with your hand. The sword can be worn, and the Gemara will discuss that. Rabbi Elezer disagrees. Rabbi Elezer omer tachshit in henlo. These are adornments, and therefore they are in fact not going to be an issur daraisa. We'll see. There are opinions that say that Rabbi Elezer holds that this is mutu lechatchila, and other opinions say it's going to be potter avalosser. However, the Chachamim respond to him. This is the same Tanakhama Chachamim. The Chachamim omrim eino ela ginai. These aren't things that are adornments for a person. They're not tachshiten. These are weapons, and weapons are always something that's lignai. It's a negative idea. Shenemar is the famous pasuk that we have from Yeshaya. It says, Shenemar in the pasuk, v'chitisu charvosom le'itim. And the people will beat their swords into plowshares, right? This is what's on the UN and the Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza, this famous quote from Yeshaya. The people will beat their swords into plowshares. V'chinosayhem, and their spears, l'mazmeros. They'll make them into now being used for pruning. Lo yisar goy al goy charev, v'lo yimudu o milchamo. So a person will not have time of war in that nation at that time. No nations will be going to war against each other, and therefore this is not considered an adornment. This is considered something that's negative to have weapons. That's what the Chachamim say. Therefore, it's not a takshit, and therefore it's a masui, and therefore if you carry it, you chayev an issur daraisa. This is the famous machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Then we go off into a different category. Now we're talking back with women. Biris, we had biris previously. Biris, we said, was a garter. It's something to hold up the stockings of a woman. And a biris, we'll see, is worn on one leg. So that's tahora. That doesn't have the status of being a kli. It's not makabel tumah. It's not an adornment. It's not a takshit. And therefore, it serves just a function to hold up the socks. And something that's a kli for a kli is not considered makabel tumah. And therefore, v'yotzim b'vi Shabbos, it's not considered a kli, it's considered a clothing, and therefore, you can go out with it on Shabbos. As opposed to kvalim, the Gemara will discuss what exactly are these kvalim. Some suggest that it's really just a biris on each leg, so it's a garter on both legs that are connected via chain. And therefore, it is considered an adornment, a tachshit, and therefore, it is makabel tumah, and therefore, then yotzim b'vi Shabbos. You're not allowed to go wear it on Shabbos because of the concern that you'll come to take it off and carry it dalet amos in the Rishus HaRabin. Now, Gemara starts off and says, "My ba'alah." What is this Allah that we talked about? So the Gemara says it's something called kulfa, and I already explained kulfa. We did these two Masoras HaShas and the Aruch beforehand. It's some sort of either a mace or a club with a flat top. Okay. So this is a weapon, and it's not allowed to be used like all the other weapons. Rabbi Eliezer disagreed, however, and said, "You're allowed to." Rabbi Eliezer omer tachshit inilo. These are considered adornments, and therefore it is not a problem of wearing it on Shabbos, and wearing it could include carrying it. That's also called wearing it, because that's the normal way it's worn, by being carried, and therefore it is not an issur daraisa. Tanya, the Raisa states, Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, the Chacham said to Rabbi Eliezer, v'chi mi'achar detachshit in hein lo, if these are adornments, then how come it may mahim betelin mos ha-Mashiach? How come Be'ezus Hashem, b'meirah b'yameinu today, Mashiach is going to come, and people will no longer be using these implements of war. So if it's a takshit, you should still be allowed to wear it. So how come, according to you, if it's a takshit, it won't be around in the times of Mashiach? You're saying that it's a takshit, so they can still wear adornments, they'll still wear jewelry, even when Mashiach comes. So Rabbi Eliezer responds, Amalhen, Lefishein on Srichen, they're not needed anymore, because as we learn from the Pasuk in Ishai, Shnem, Elo Yisro Goy El Goy El Cheret, that nobody's going to learn how to do battle anymore, so therefore, these takshitim will not be necessary. Gemara says, no, so still, the Stabili Noi Biyama, granted, it may not be needed as a tool of war, but it's still a takshit, it's a nice sword, it's a nice mace, and people will carry it as an adornment. So Gemara says, "Amrabai mididavi ashraga b'tiara." This is the equivalent of carrying out a torch, a light, in the middle of the day. Nobody gets any benefit from walking around with a lamp in the brilliant sunshine. So therefore, this no longer is going to be an adornment in the time of sunshine. A lamp, a candle, a torch is not considered a necessary thing for light. So too, be'ezus Hashem, b'mos Mashiach. According to this opinion, there will be no need for weapons, and therefore they won't be an adornment anymore. That's what Abaye says. However, this whole idea that in the days of Mashiach will be different is argued about by Shmuel. Upliga de Shmuel. This goes against the famous statement of Shmuel throughout Shas. The Amar Shmuel says throughout Shas, Ein bein olam hazeh limos haMashiach. There is no difference between now and when Mashiach will come. Be'ezras Hashem meir yameinu. The only difference is Ella Shibud Golios Bovat. The only difference is that we will no longer be the number one subject in every UN Security Council. That there will be nobody fighting with Eretz Yisrael anymore. Eretz Yisrael will be king of the world. And there still may be other stuff going on in the rest of the world, but Eretz Yisrael will be no longer a problem. The Jewish people will no longer be Meshubah to anybody else. All the Jewish people will come and live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the difference. The only difference between now and then will be the status of the Jewish people in the world, Eretz Yisrael in the world. And this is based upon the Pasuk, Shenemar, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev aretz. Because the Pasuk says there's still going to be poor people. Now, if Mashiach comes and everything is hanky-dory, everything is perfectly fine, then why would there be poor people? So the answer is no. The world will still continue. People have to go to work every day. People are going to still have to make a parnasa. People are still going to have to farm, etc. The only difference is Shiva Golius Bavad, that the Jewish people won't be persecuted anymore. That's the opinion of Shmuel. There's no difference, and therefore there'll be war. We won't be at war, but there'll still be wars going on. So therefore, Shmuel would say that this would still be an adornment, even in the time of Yemos HaMashiach. However, that's Shmuel's opinion. Our Mishnah, which says that the Chacham say it won't be an adornment anymore, because it won't be necessary to have war, that's Messiah L'Urchia Bar Abba. That goes in accord with Urchia Bar Abba. This brisa that we just said, that Rabbi Eliezer holds, that Michimachach Tachshitin Hein, so that is in support of Ruchia Bar Abba, because he holds Kol HaNevim Lo Nisnabu El Yemos HaMashiach. All the things telling us about the wonders of the future, that's talking about Yemos HaMashiach. That's not talking about Gan Eden. That's not talking about post-Tchias HaMesim. That's talking about Yemos HaMashiach, not like Shmuel. Shmuel says there'll be no difference. People go to work, they'll get on a bus, they'll go on a train in Yemos HaMashiach and have to do all the regular things, except we won't be persecuted. But Ruchia Bar Abba says, no, all the unbelievable things, such as they'll beat their swords into plowshares, and there'll be peace in the world, and the lion's going to sit next to the lamb, all that's during Yemos HaMashiach. But all the things that the Nevi'im prophesies, that's only about Yemos HaMashiach. Aval Yolam Haba, the next step, Ayin lo ro'a so Elohim zulasecha. Nobody has seen this except you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the only one who knows about that, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Nevi'im are talking about Yemos HaMashiach. In other words, Yemos HaMashiach will be quite different. Not like Shmuel says, just Shibud Golios Bovad, but it'll be a totally different situation. Now, the Gemara says, that's the version that we have of this brisa. Vika the Amr, others have the version as follows. Amr lo l'Eliezer, Sidr l'Eliezer, v'chi miyachad d'takshit in lo, since these are still considered, these weapons of war are considered an adornment for the person, v'mnei ma'im b'teilin mos Mashiach, how come during the days of the Mashiach the people aren't going to wear them? So he responded, Rabbi Eliezer responded to them, Amr lehem, af li mos Mashiach, ain't b'teilin. He says, who says they're going to be batal? I hold like Shmuel. Another Shmuel holds like me, that there is not going to be a bittul of everything. It's just Shiva Golius Bavad. So the Jewish people aren't going to need weapons to defend themselves. But weapons will still be around. And it'll still be a badge of honor. It'll still be a b'chovedika thing. It'll be a takshit for a person to walk around with a sword. And Hainu ki Shmuel. And this is what Shmuel said. This is an argument. Upliga d'Rav Chiya Barabba. So this just looks at it from the other way. The first version that we had, it was that the Braisa was in support of Rav Chiya Barabba. The second version, has over here that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that the Braisa is incorrect. That in fact, there will be during the Mos HaMashiach no bittel over here, and that's in accord with Shmuel. So the two versions, one is a raya to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and the second version is really a raya to Shmuel, the way Rabbi Eliezer explained it, and is in argument with what Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said. Fine. Amalei Abayel Ravdimi, Rabbi said to Ravdimi, others said, Amalei L'Rav Avi, he said it to Rav Avi, V'Amalei Rav Yossi L'Rav Dimi, others said it was Rav Yossi, he said it to Rav Dimi, V'Amalei L'Rav Avi, others say he said it to Rav Avi, and others say, V'Amalei Abayel Rav Yossi, it was Abayel who said it to Rav Yossi. Now again, why do we always have these things? So two things are important. We have to know that when the Gemara was written many, many years later, when Ravina Ravashi codified the Gemara, it was after many years, hundreds of years sometimes after these discussions, and there was confusion as to who said what. And we also know, says many places in the Gemara, that Omer Dovah B'Shem Omer, maybe Gula Liolim, when you say something over, and the person who said it, that helps bring the Gula to the world. We see that from Esther, when she said over, B'Shem Mordechai, about the big son in Seresh, so therefore we see the importance of saying over a dover b'shem Omro. So therefore the Gemara always tries to be medayik, where possible, who said it, they have a machlokas as to who said it, so they state, this is the machlokas. And anyway, whoever it was that said it, say, my time to Relezer, the Yom HaTachshit and Halo, what is the reasoning behind Relezer says that it's an adornment for a person to go wear these weapons? It's based upon the Pasuk. And tell him, the Pasuk says, Dilsib, Chabor Charbecha Ayorech, go and gird your sword on your waist, Ayorech Gibor, on the waist of the powerful one, Hodcha v'hadorecha, because it is a very big hod v'hador, it's a very big splendor over here, it's a tremendous honor over here to gird your sword over here around your waist. Okay, so that's his source. So Gemara's question is, Amalei Rav Kahana, l'mabri de Rav Huna, others have the girsa, l'ravina, ma'adri ravina, whoever it was, he said it to the son of either Rav Huna or Ravina. Hi, b'divrei Torah k'siv. That pasuk is not talking about literally a sword. That pasuk is talking about divrei Torah, as Rashi says. Hevizara lechazer al mishnascha. That pasuk is referring to a person should be careful to go over his learning all the time. Shetei mizumenes loch b'shas adin, that you should be always ready to bring it forward if there's a din Torah. Lavi raya, that you should be able to give a raya to your statements. Kicherva yaruch gibor, just like a sword by the waist of a strong person, so that he can always be limitzeh b'milchama, that he's ready to fight at any moment. V'hu hotcha v'hadoracha. That's the hod v'hada that we're talking about over here. It's talking about divrei Torah. It's not talking about literally a sword. So how can you tell me that this means literally a sword? So Gemara says, no, Amalei, he responded, Mar, either Bar Rav Huna or Bar Ravina said, no, Ein Mikra Yotzi Midei Pshuto. Yes, it is talking about Torah, that's the drush, but the Pasha Pshat is that it's talking here about a weapon. You don't ever take a Pasuk out of its simple understanding. And on this, Rav Kahana makes an interesting idea. Amar Rav Kahana, Kad Havina Bar Tam Nesri Shin, I was 18 years old, and Vahavi Gremir Na La Lekulei Ashas, and I knew all of Shas already at this point in time. Nevertheless, I didn't know. You taught me now an idea. Even though I knew all of Shas, I didn't know this drush over here that you can't ever take a pasuk out of its simple understanding. It may have a deeper meaning that may be the ikker, but you also have to learn the pasuk pshat. And the Gemara says, what's he telling this for? What's the chiddush over here, Rav Kahana? The ligbarinish v'had the lisbar. A person shouldn't say, well, I can't go further until I understand this fully. No, go further. Learn all of Shas, learn all the Mishnayos, learn all of Chumash, learn all of Tanakh, and then on your second, third, hundredth time around, you can delve into it deeper and deeper each time. But don't say, I can't move on and beyond the parsha of Bereishis Bara Elokim until I understand every single thing about this. That's the incorrect approach. Not anymore as a simon. We always say out the simonim, simon Zoros. So this is probably the name, the Zion is for the Rabbi Eliezer, the Reish is for Reish Lakish, and the Vav and the Saf is interesting. It's Vit Talmidehen. That's one of the footnotes in the art score brings us down from Rav David Pardo in various Sfarim. In any event, these simonim are always interesting. Sometimes people spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the simonim are. In any event, what is this going to now lead us into a discussion of various ways that Talmidim interact with each other, the two Talmidei Chacham interact with each other. So the first one is Amar Yirmiya, Amar Rabbi Elazar, that's the Zayin. Yirmiya says the name of Elazar, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim Mechadidin Zeh L'Zeh B'Alocha, two Talmidei Chachamim are Mechadidin, they're sharpening each other with their discussions in Torah. Rashi brings down over here that Hamechadidin means Shoalin U'Meshivin, that they're questioning back and forth, arguing with each other. Not to fight with each other, elizchade, to sharpen it. If somebody asks you question after question after question, you can really understand your shita and sharpen your shita. So when you have two talmidei chachamim that are mechaded in each other, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzliach lam. God is very, very happy with them, and he gives them great, great hatzlocha. He gives them wonderful success in everything that they do. Where do we see this? That's the end of the pasuk. Shenemar, v'hadorcha tzlach. It says that you will, because of your hador over here, you'll be successful. Rashi says, this hador is v'chadodcha, because the hador is a play on the dalet and the resh, so therefore, this is your glory over here. This is because you were sharpening one another. Don't read it that it's just your glory over here, but read it as your sharpening, that you were questioning each other so carefully, and therefore that's what it's telling us. Furthermore, not only will they become sharp, but they'll also rise to become leaders of Klai Yisrael, to be people of Gedula. Shenemar, Tzalach Rechav, that you'll go over here and you'll be successful, you'll have Hatzlacha, and Rechav, you'll go and ride on these animals. And animals are something that normally an important person rides upon. Regular people don't ride upon all sorts of fancy horses. They ride on a donkey, but a king rides on a fancy horse. So you ride over here. So that's an expression over here, Sha'olin Ligdula. You might think that this will occur even if they're not doing lishma. Sometimes people study in order that everybody should give them honor. So that's not lishma. It's so wonderful to do that, but that's not lishma. So you're not going to be necessarily successful to have a position of a gedula. The greatest Talmid Chacham of the generation never went through an election to elect them to be the Talmud Chacham of the generation. What happens is that they're acknowledged. They have absolutely no interest in being the Gadol HaDor, and yet they become quickly acknowledged as the Gadol HaDor. So that's what it's talking about. So Yochal Afilu Shloshma, you might think they're going to rise to Gedula, even if they're not doing it Lishma. Tamalom no, the Pasuk says, Advar Emes, only if they're doing it totally L'Shem Shemayim. Yochal Hegis Dato, you might think as well, that if somebody becomes Hegis Dato, means he becomes a Baal Gaiva over here, an arrogant person. No, you won't be successful if you become an arrogant person. You won't be zochet to all of these leadership roles and the glory that is going to come to the people that do it l'shem shemayim and that do it humbly. The ones that do it bi'anava, so they'll become tzaddikim. However, v'im osim kain, if you do it right, zochet l'torah shenit nabiyamin, you'll also be zochet over here achieving Torah, which is given with the right hand, so to say, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right hand always implies the more powerful, the better way. With your right hand over here, you're going to accomplish sorocha. Rashi says, uslamedcha. Your learning will become successful. That's the first vort that we have over here. The next vort is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. He darshens these psukim a little bit differently, and he says, "Zochin lidvarim shenamru biyimino shel Torah." This last part over here says that he says it means you'll be zoche to dvarim that were given over with the right hand of the Torah, b'yamina shel Torah, so to say. What does that mean? Amar Rava by Rav Shilov, Amri lo Amar Rav Yosef, Rachama Amar Rav Sheishis, whoever was it said it, might say orach yomim b'mila b'smol oshev chavot, seems to say with the right you're going to be zoche to orach yomim, and with the left you're going to be zoche to oshev chavot. What does that mean? If somebody learns Torah, so to say, with the right, he's doing it all l'shem shemayim, he's doing it all properly, he's only going to have arichas yomim, but he won't have oshev chavod. So that doesn't make any sense. Actually, there's loshem bismi over here. Bismiya, given the ikar arich yomim, kol shekein oshev chavod. If you're zocha to arich yomim, of course you're going to be zocha to oshev chavod. So how do you understand the pasuk? It means ela arich yomim ikar. If you're going to do it right, then not only will you get Oruch Yomim, but certainly you certainly get Oshav Kavu, which are lesser of a reward than Oruch Yomim. If you ask a person, what would he rather have, a long, healthy life or a lot of money? So hopefully the person is going to say he'd rather have a long, healthy life. But that's for the people that do it the right way. Literally, that's what we call it, the right way, because you're doing it in L'Shem Shemayim and doing it properly with humbleness. L'masmilim ba, Rashi explains over here, L'masmilim ba means she'en yigeim ba kol tzarchon, they're not working at it as hard, or alternatively, inami, miyaminin ba oskin l'shma. When it says they're doing it the right way, it means they're doing l'shma. M'smilim means shalol l'shma. It's still wonderful to learn Torah, even in not l'shma. You will learn Torah, so everybody will stand up for you. Learn Torah, so everybody will say how smart you are. That's a wonderful reason to learn Torah. Not the optimal reason, but still a perfectly good reason to learn Torah. So the people that do it for the less than perfect reasons, they do it with an ulterior motive to be called the Talmid Chacham, to get glory and honor, l'masmilim ba, then oshev kavod ika, they're going to get gedula, they're going to get oshev kavod. However, orach yomim lo leka, they're not necessarily going to get arichas yomim v'shanim. Okay, now we have the next comment, which is in the name of Reish Lakish. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Amar Shimon ben Lakish, Shnei Tamidei Chachamim Hanochin Zeh Lezeh B'Halacha. If two Tamidei Chachamim Hanochin Zeh Lezeh B'Halacha. What does that mean? So Rashi tells us, Nosim V'notim Bo B'Nachas Ruach. When they argue back and forth with each other, they do it in a very pleasant way. And in this way, they encourage each other very much. They're very pleasant towards each other. So if they learn in this fashion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makshiv b'hem, God listens to them. Because that's the end of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says, Ne'emar oz nidbiru yirei Hashem v'gomer. The people that do and talk with each other nicely. So then the end of the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is vayakshev Hashem vayishma. Hashem will listen to them. So therefore, if you go and learn nicely with each other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to you. In other words, he'll grant you whatever you want. Okay. Gemara continues. What the end of that pasuk, it also says, at the end of that pasuk, after it says, Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma, it says that it's talking about Ulechoshvei Shemo. What does it mean, Ulechoshvei Shemo? My Ulechoshvei Shemo. So Amar Rav Ami, Afilu Chishev Lasos Mitzvah Venenas, if a person wanted to do a mitzvah, and for reasons outside his control, an accident, some extenuating circumstance comes along, and the nanas, he's unable to do so, the lo asah, nevertheless, ma'alu of a kos of kilu asah, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to count it in your positive column, in your plus column, because you wanted to do the mitzvah. Today, everybody wants to go to Minyan. Nebuch, we can't. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I know, if you really want to go to Minyan, you always used to go to Minyan, and now you can't go to Minyan. No, boom, I'm counting as if you went to Minyan three times today, because I'm stopping you from going. It's an nanas. Nevertheless, I'm going to count it as if you went to Minyan. If a person does, Rav Chanina Baridi says, if a person does the mitzvah properly, the way you're supposed to do it, with all the kavanos, and he's doing it l'shem shamayim, he's doing it lamito, etc., so then, ein mevasun oso, besorus rose, he won't get bad things done to him. Because the pasuk says, Shemar, shomer mitzvah, if a person is shomer mitzvah, he does the mitzvah properly, lo yeda dovar ra, nothing bad will come to him. And Rav Asi adds to this, I'm a Rav Asi, Vitem Rav Chanina, it was either Rav Asi or Rav Chanina, who said, Afilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes exera. Even if God said something bad is going to happen to this person, the mitzvah can come along and protect him. Hu mevatlan, the person has the ability to go and negate this decree by his performing the mitzvah in the most proper way. How do we know this? Shenemar, Masher Devar Melech Shulton, because if the king says something, Umi Omalo Ma Tesa, who can tell the king not to do something? The king says, off with your head, so your head's coming off. Who has the authority to go tell the king not to do something? So the answer is, Usamichlei, next to that pasuk, it says, Shomer Mitzvah, Lo Yedeh Dovara. It says, the Shomer Mitzvah, he's not going to know any bad. So Rashi brings down over here the interesting idea. Shomer Mitzvah, Yuchol Omar Lo. When we say, who can tell the king what to do? So a Shomer Mitzvah can tell the king what to do. Kav Yochel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to be punished. But if you do the mitzvahs properly, you can tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, I'm not going to be punished. Again, a very, very interesting idea. Again, this is not talking about stam that you're wearing tzitzis and you don't have any kavanas and you expect to be protected from everything. So the answer is, if a person really performs the mitzvahs well, then he doesn't have to be worried. Shomer Mitzvah, lo yedah dovara. But it's a very lofty level to ascribe to. We all should try. Yezus Hashem. Then we have further, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, another statement that Rabbi Abba makes in the name of Reish Lakish. Rashi says later on that there are a whole bunch of statements. So once we bring down this one statement in the name of Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, so then we're going to have other statements that Rabbi Abba says in the name of Rav Shimon Lakish. So that's the Gemaras often do that. They lump together the statements. So here's the first one from Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. Shnei Tamidei Chachamim makshivim zeh lezeh bi'halacha. If two Tamidei Chachamim are makshivim to each other, Rashi explains, melamdin zeh zeh, they teach one another, umivinin zeh mizeh, and each one learns from the other one, v'lishlan dekra nakad. And this is the pasuk, the word makshivim is used in the pasuk, so therefore, it says v'yakshev, so therefore he uses this lashon over here. When the two Tamidim are makshivim zeh lezeh, so then there's zocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shomeh lekol, God listens to them. It says v'yakshev, Hashem will listen to them. Shenemar, hayoshev is beganim chaverim, makshivim lekol echash. So if you're learning in my garden over here, you're sitting in my garden and learning, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to you. But Nebuch, v'im einos and kain, if they're wasting their time, gorm kain, v'im einos and kain, gorm in l'shchino, sh'mistalekes v'Yisrael, then they're causing the shchino to leave, rachmona v'tzlan. Shenema, berach dodi yudimei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to run away if you do these incorrect actions. The Gemara continues and says, I'm a Rabbi Abba, I'm a Rishimun Lakish, Shnei Tamidei Chachamim Hamadgilim Zeh Lo Zeh Ba'Halacha. If you have two Tamidei Chachamim that are Madgilim, Rashi says this means Ma'asvin Zeh Zeh. They collect statements one from the other. V'yomrim Ba, V'nilmo V'navim Bein Shteinu. And they analyze them and they learn from themselves what the Pesukim really mean. That's when they're sitting in Chavrus and they don't have a Rebbe. So in this situation, they go and learn Torah together. So and they're trying to come to the right answer. In this situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ava, and he loves them very much. And Emar V'diglu, that's the Loshon of Madgilim. V'diglu Ava, Degel is like a flag. So that it's so to say, I'm honoring you. Right? People, a team, they show the support of a team. So they carry the colors of the team. So V'diglu Alai Ava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very happy to be included as their supporters. Amar Rava, that's only true. Rava says Hu Diyodei Tzursa D'Shmaisa. They have to know a little bit. Rashi says over here. They can't be novices and suddenly expect to be able to come to the right answer. So they learned a little bit, right? So they learned how to make a leini, and now they want to learn Tosas. Now they want to learn the Rishonim and the Achronim. So then that they can accomplish because they know a little bit. So they don't have a Rebbe. So therefore they have to try to learn it themselves. But this is only who the less lehu rabba b'masu lemigmarine. They shouldn't go and start learning by themselves while they still have a Rebbe around that they can learn from. So again, everybody has to know at what point they are in their learning and in their growth that they can start really learning by themselves and they're less in need of a Rebbe to teach them. But everybody has to have a selech rab. Everybody always has to have a Rebbe. Then, since we've already had statements of Rav Abba Rav Shimon Lakish, we continue. I'm Rav Abba Rav Shimon Lakish. God olam alva yosim in osit staka. Greater is the person that lends somebody money than actually gives them staka. And the understanding behind this is very simple. Rashi says, the malva is going to be doing more for the person. Lafisha in ani bosh bedaber. When you get a loan, so okay, I got a loan for you. I'm going to pay it back. So therefore, I'm not so dependent upon you. Thank you very much for giving me the loan, but I'm going to pay you back. So I'm my own person. When somebody gives you $10, so then you're not paying to pay it back. So therefore, that is considered over here a more of a mevayish type of thing, a more of an embarrassing type of thing. Also, other mafarshim bring down that when you give a loan to somebody, you give a larger loan. When you're giving tzedakah, you give a smaller amount because you're not expecting to get it back. So therefore, you're doing more benefit to the person. He can take this loan and go and build it up into a business. And therefore, umato bekis, and if somebody gives somebody a partnership in their business, so listen, you don't have any money, I'll let you come into my business, you'll be a 50-50 partner with you, Rashi says, umato bekis, and I'll make you a partner, yosem bikul, that's even better, because now the person says, hey, I'm a partner over here, I'm not a loser that you're giving me a loan or you're giving me a handout, I'm a partner over here, I'm going into business with you, and therefore, that's the best way to give tzedakah of all. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, another statement that he made, if the Talmud Chacham is somebody that goes and makes sure that everything is done, he's exacting and he's making sure that everybody is going and getting exactly what they deserve, he's like a nachash attacks over here. So he takes vengeance and he is noter. We have a nekama and netira. You're not allowed to go take nekama, you're not allowed to take netira. So the Talmud Chacham is a little bit of a harsh person. Nevertheless, you should still hang out with him because he's still the Talmud Chacham and you can learn from his good midos even though he may have some less than stellar midos. However, in Am Haaretz who chas it, but this Am Haaretz who really knows nothing happens to be a nice character, so stay away from him because he doesn't know. He's lucky, so to say, that he's doing well. And he's going to say, well, the ethics are telling me this, but the ethics aren't the way you learn. Learning is the way you learn. And therefore, you're better to be with a Talmud Chacham that's not so perfect rather than this Am Haaretz who looks somewhat more like a chassid. Okay, again, each case has to be looked at individually, obviously. We continue. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. Another statement. Name of Rish Lakish. Others say Amar Lo Rav Asi. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. It was Rish Lakish who said this. Whether it was from Rav Kahana, or whether it was from Rav Asi, whoever it was said it. Amar Lo Amar Rabbi Abba. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. It was from Rabbi Abba who said it. Kol Hamigado Kelev Rabisuch Beisof. If you raise a pit bull in your house, a bad dog in your house, Monea Chesed B'toch Beis, so you're going to prevent Chesed from coming into your house. What's the reasoning behind this over here? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Lamos, now Lamos, the Gemara is going to tell us, means a bad dog. We turn to the Omid Beis, Me'ereyeyu Chesed. Now Lamos literally means it will prevent your friend from getting chesed from you, but we darsh in the word shekevim b'loshin yavon is koren lakeled lamos. A lamos is the name for a pit bull, a bad dog. So that's how we learn that by having a bad dog in your house, so nobody's going to want to come to visit you, right? The mailman's scared to come to your house. He drops the mail in the street. Your check that you're getting from the government doesn't show up. So shekevim b'loshin yavon is koren lakeled lamos. So having a bad dog in your house, having a rabid dog, a pit bull in your house, that's going to keep chesed away. Such a person is basically saying that I don't have Yira Shemayim. A person like in this situation shows that he has no fear of God. Okay. Gemara says, Hai Itza, there once was a story with a certain woman the Eilul Ahav Beisul Emefesh, she was going into somebody else's house to bake. Again, poor people in those days, they didn't even have their own ovens. So they would go into somebody else's oven that was hot, and then they would bake after that person. It would take less of a firewood once the oven was already hot. So they would go and bake in somebody else's oven. Navach Bar Kavod. Now, that person who was being kind to them and gave them their oven had a dog, and the dog barked. Now, this woman was pregnant, and it's Akrav Lada, and because of her fear from hearing that bark, so she miscarried. Now, the owner of the dog, Amalah Amari Debesa, the owner of the house, the owner of the dog said, hey, don't worry about that dog. Lo Sidchali, don't be afraid of that dog. Dishkili Nive, I took out its teeth, Ushkili Tufre, and I took out its claws, so it ain't going to hurt you. So it has a bigger bark than it has a fear. So don't let the dog scare you. She said, too late. Amalei, Shkula Tivusech, take away all the good things he did for me. The Mefarshim explained, hey, you're trying to be nice to me. Rashi says, Tovas Hanoas Nachmasacha. You gave me the usage of your oven over here, but you didn't do me any good. The Shajach Ziri, throw it on the thorns and the thistles over here. Kivar Nov Lord, I miscarried, so what good does it do me? Gemara Bava Kama tells us that this child would have grown up to be a chash of a person, and therefore this was a tremendous loss. And therefore the person owning this dog caused this loss. Another statement, Amar Rav Huna, my Sivar Huna says, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Samach Bachur Bial Dusecha? The person should be very happy when he's young. V'yativcha Libcha B'mei B'churasecha. And your heart should make you happy when you're young. V'halech B'darche Libcha. And go do what your heart tells you to do. V'mari Necha, and what your eyes tell you to do. And then, now we have the second clause over here. V'da, if you do this, God is going to judge you eventually for this. So I read the pasuk the way it should be broken up, and we'll have two ways to break up the pasuk. So the first version is, Rav Huna was one that asked this question, so he says, Ad kan divrei Yetzirah, until the part vida, Rashi explains, until that, that's the Yetzirah talking. Ad kan divrei Yetzirah. Yeah, do whatever you want. You're young, you can do whatever you want. If you act that way, that's already that's the Yetzitov telling you better not do that. Reish Lakish says a little bit differently. He says, I can't divrei Torah. The first part is about divrei Torah. That if a person does all these things and he's learning Torah, that's not enough. You should know, the rest is that you have to put it into action. You have to learn little mode lasos. As Rashi says over here, Vidak, Yaqol Eila, Akomashili Marita. If everything you learned, you don't carry out, Sof Khalitin Sadin in Lotus Gaim, you're going to be held accountable. Oh, I learned all these things, but I didn't do any of them. So therefore the person will be held accountable. That concludes the whole discussion about the armor and the agadah that we got from those Gemaras. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah said that a woman is allowed to go out with the beerist, with the garter that's on one leg, and this is not a tachshit, and therefore it's not makabel tumah, and it's tahora, and you're allowed to go and wear it out on Shabbos because no woman is going to take it off because her socks will fall down, and that would be a busha to her, so she doesn't have to worry that she's going to take it off and show it to a friend. That's what we had in the previous Mishnayis as well. So I'm Rav Yehuda, biris zu etzoda. So Rav Yehuda says a biris is a bracelet. It's not this garter. He says a bracelet. Rav Yosef doesn't like this. Most of Rav Yosef, he says, wait a second. We learned in our Mishnah, biris tahora, v'yotzei b'Shabbos. Our Mishnah disagrees with you. Our Mishnah said that a biris is not a utensil, it's not a kli, it's not a tachshit, and therefore it's not makabel tumah. Its purpose is a kli for a kli. It's a kli to hold up your socks, and therefore it's not makabel tumah. And v'yotzei b'Shabbos, and therefore you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. We're not concerned that you're going to go take it off and show it to somebody because it's not a kli, it's not a tachshit. But your Rav Yehuda is saying it's etzada. Etzada is a bracelet. That's certainly makabel tumah. That's a tachshit. So your explanation of biris is wrong. So Gemara says this is what Rav Yehuda meant. Hachi kama. This is what Rav Yehuda meant. It's like a bracelet. Biris tachas etzada omedes. A biris is a little bit like a bracelet. Just like you wear a bracelet around your arm, so too you wear this biris around your leg. So it's a little bit like a bracelet. It's like a bracelet for the leg to hold up your socks. So it's different than a bracelet that you're wearing around your arm as a tachshit, and review is not in discordance with our Mishnah. Now, Yosef, Rav, and Rav Huna, these two Talmidim, Rav and Rav Yehuda, were sitting in front of the Rebbe, Kamei the Rav Yirmiya. And the Yosef Rav Yirmiya, Rav Yirmiya was sitting there and he was dozing off a little bit. Mustama, after he gave the shir, was tired, so he put his head down. The Yosef Rabin, so the Talmidim still were learning. So Ravin said to Rav Huna, Biris bi achas kivalim mishtayim. A biris is a garter that's worn on one leg, and the kivalim are like garters that are worn on both your legs. Rav Huna disagrees. Amalei Rav Huna says, no. Eil ve'el mishtayim. Both the biris and the kavala are worn on both legs. That's what Rav Huna tells Ravin. The only difference between them is that the Beerus is not connected one to the other, and the Kavalim are connected one to the other with some sort of a chain. Umatilin shalsheles beineim v'nasu kavalim. It's called a garter until you connect them, and when you connect them with a chain, it's now called a kavalim. Where it says, so because you put a little chain on it, now it's called the kli. How did that change it around from being a garter? So the Gemara says, maybe you're saying he holds like Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Yochanan, we had this previously. If something can make noise, so then it's considered a kli. Remember, we had the clangor you took out of the bell. The bell is still called the kli, because even though the clangor doesn't make it into a kli, you can bang it on something and it makes a noise. And we learned that out. Kol davar asher yavavei. We said you have to be kashering anything that went through the fire. And we dash in the word kol davar afilu dibur mashma. Even something that makes noise. So even if it makes a sound, like the chain can make a clanging sound, so that's enough to make it into a kli. So is that what his opinion is? Is that how the shalshelis works? Someone says that's not true. Bishlomo hasam, in regards to the bell, for example, kli matkis, kaboy lelikola, the covered maisa. You want it to make some sort of a sound. And here, hocha, my maisa covered, what sound do you want the chain to make? It's interesting, the Miri says that the purpose of this chain is to make a sound that the people will take slower steps, as the Gemara is now going to tell us. But in any event, the Gemara says, Hochanami Ka'avid Maisa. No, the chain's purpose over here is for the following. It makes a kli, not necessarily for noise purposes, although the Miri says it is for noise purposes, but it has a function. As long as it has a function, it's called a kli. And that's why the Kavalim are not allowed, and the garter is allowed. What is this discussion? Amar Rabbi Rechana, Amar Yochanan. There was once a family, Mishpacha Achas Hoysav Yishalayim. This family was known, Shoyu Psiosei and Gasos. They would take large steps. They had long strides. V'hab Psulosei and Noshos. And the young women, when they would take these long strides, somehow, I don't know the mechanism over here, it would make their hymen break, and they wouldn't have Basulin. They wouldn't have Dan Basulin. And that's not a good thing for the young women not to have, because they could be accused, Rachmanu Litzlan, of having had relations with somebody. So the women want to have their Basulin. So these women would lose their Basulin through physical activity. So what do? They came up with this idea. Also, lem kavalim. They put these chains on their garters. V'itilu shalshelis b'neim. They put on the garters and they attached them with a chain, and this prevented them from taking large steps. Shlo yubsiyo saying gasos. They wouldn't take large steps in this way, and therefore it was a functional chain. V'lo yubsiyo saying noshos. And now they didn't lose their virginity. They didn't lose their besulin over here via a mechanical mechanism. The Miri says over here, it didn't physically stop them from taking large steps. It clanged every time they took a large step, and therefore, that's why they didn't take large steps. Others would say, no, it's like a band in between the two legs that limited them from taking large steps. In any event, at this point, Ravin and Rav Huna were having the discussion, and Rav Yirmiyah, the Rebbe, wakes up. He gets up, and Amalo, he was listening, half listening while he was asleep. He says, Yashakayach, Yishai, very good. Your discussion is exactly umachadim to what Rav Yochanan said. That's exactly the difference. Why a single garter is not a problem, because nobody would take that off, because it's an embarrassing thing, either whether it's on one leg or even it's on both legs. The socks are going to fall down, their legs would be shown, which they wouldn't want. It's not a tachshit, and therefore they're allowed to go out with it. But when you put on the kavalim over here, that's already an adornment of some sort, and they might show it to somebody else, and therefore there is an isser midrabbanan to go out with the kavalim. That explains the situation. Gemara continues, says, Ki asa Rav Dimi, Yom Rav Yochanan. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, over the name of Rav Yochanan, Minayin la'orik koshu shutame. We had this previously. How do we know that anything that is woven has no shear for it? Normally there's a shear for certain things that's either 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim for rich people, or 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos for poor people, they can use it as a patch. How do we know something that's woven doesn't have any shear? Even something that's smaller than 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim is going to be matami. So the Gemara says, we learn this out mitzitz. We learn this out from the Kohen Gadol's garment called the tzitz. One of the 8 garments that the Kohen Gadol wore was called the tzitz, the frontlet that he would wear on his forehead. Now that implies that the tzitz is woven. So Gemara says, I'm going to buy it. The tzitz ariku? Is the tzitz something that's made out of a woven material? That's not true of Vatanya. We learn the Brisa. Tzitz kimin tas shozov. The tzitz was made out of gold. It's a band of gold. V'rochesh te'etzbos. It was only 2 etzbos wide, so it's smaller than 3 etzbos. And umukaf miozen liozen. It went from one ear to the other ear, and it crossed over the frontlet of the forehead of the person. The kosovol abishtei sheet, and it had 2 rows of words written on it. On the top row it said yud k vav k. The Gemara doesn't say the full shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the yud, and then the hey, and then the vav, and then the hey, which is what we always refer to as yud k vav k. We don't want to say out Hashem's name even if we're not pronouncing it out. So that was on the top row, lamala. The Kodesh, Lamed, and the word Kodesh, La, that's the Lamed for La, Hashem, was written Lamata on the second row. Now, there are two major ways over here, Rashi and Tosos, look at this. So Rashi says, on the top line you had Yud Kei Vav Kei, and on the second line you had Kodesh, and then the letter Lamed. So you'd read it, Kodesh, La, Hashem. Tosos says, if you have it just one right on top of the other, that's going to be a problem. So in Tosfos Dibra Masko, because of law b'shtei shitim, he says Dibra Rabbeinu Tam. He brings down for the Rabbeinu Tam. Shahaya kosov yud k b'sof shita at the end of the top row, Rishona. The Kodesh Lamed that was written b'tchila shita shnia. So you would read this when you're reading it from right to left. You'd start from the second line and read Kodesh La, and then you go to the top line, which is a line now coming next in going from the left. From the right to the left, it's all read in order, and then you would read Yudke Vavke. That's how Tosos understands it. Lav Davke that Rashi is totally different. Rashi just doesn't point out that it's at the end of the line. In any event, that's what it said on this gold frontlet that the Kohen Gadol wear, known as the tzitz. Now, the Amar Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi, Ani Reisef Yeromi, I myself saw this hidden away in the Vatican. I saw this hidden away in the city of Rome. They brought many of the kelim from the Beis Hamikdash, Nebuchadnezzar, after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, they brought it, and it's still in the Vatican today. Because of Kodesh L'Hashem B'Shita Achas, he said, I saw it all on one line, not on two lines like you're saying. No, if he actually saw it, so how come that's not proof? So the Mepharshim bring down, because Lav Davka, is that the only way it could be done? There's a Lechatrila and a Bidiyevit, and maybe he only saw one that was made in a Bidiyevit way. Now what's this Maisa that Rabbi Eliezer Riosi saw it in the Vatican? So Rashi alludes to a Gemara from Ila, which really starts on Tezavov Omid Beis, but the real part of the story is on Yud Zayin. So this is a Maisa with a shade known as a Ben Talmayon. And this Ben Talmayon helped them go and repeal a decree. There was a horrible decree against the Jewish people that they weren't allowed to observe Shabbos, they weren't allowed to observe Nida, they weren't allowed to observe various dinim in the Torah, and they wanted to get this decree revoked, so they sent Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Rav Elazar bar Rav Yossi. And they went, they met up with the Sheid Ben Talmayon, and he said, I'll help you out over here. And he did. When they got to the Caesar, he went into the Caesar's daughter, and he made it crazy. And they then went to the Caesar where nobody else could cure her, and they told Ben Talmayon, leave the Caesar's daughter, and he left, and now she wasn't crazy anymore. So the king said, you can take anything you want from my storehouse, and they took the decree and they ripped it up, and that's how that vicious decree against the Jewish people was destroyed and taken away. While he was there, Rabbi Elazar Yossi saw many things. He saw the paroches. He says elsewhere that they saw the paroches, whether there was a question, there was blood on the paroches or not. In any event, he saw these storehouses inside the Vatican, inside Ir Romi, and he's telling us, I saw the tzitz, and the tzitz had it on one line, Kodesh L'Hashem. In any event, the Gemara says, Ki solik Rav Dimi l'Anadoi, when Rav Dimi went back to Bavel, Sholach Lu, he sent back to Eretz Yisrael, and he said, Dvar m'shamayti l'chem tos hem yodi. Remember when I told you, originally he came and said that the tzitz is woven, and we learned that something less than 3x3 etzbos, because the tzitz was only two etzbos, so I said it's something woven. I told you it was from the tzitz. I made a mistake. So again, the greatness of Rav Dimi, he wasn't afraid to say I made a mistake. He made a public announcement. He told them, I would be quiet. Okay, I made a mistake. Hope nobody noticed. No, he made a public announcement. I made a mistake. That's because he's learning Torah Lamito. And he said, Bram, he said, the real answer is, Kach Amru Mishum Rav Yochanan. This is what Rav Yochanan said. Minayin Tachshit Kol Shushu Tameh. If something has the status of being a Tachshit, then we don't have minimal standards for it. It doesn't have to be 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos. That we learn out from the tzitz. The tzitz was only 2 etzbos, and yet it's a Tachshit, so it's Makabel Tumah. That we learn out from the tzitz. Uminayin Le'ori Kol Shushu Tameh. And that which I said, how do we know that something that's woven is considered something significant, even if it's less than 3 by 3 etzbos? That we learn out from the Pasuk, the extra word, O, Beged. So we had this previously in the Gemara. The Kol Sheyipol Allah Mehem B'Mosom Yitmom Mikol Kliyetz O Beged O R. So the extra word O comes to darshan out over here that even something that is woven, it doesn't have the size of 3 etzbos, it still is considered something that's Dover Choshev and is Makabel Tumah. Now we dash in this a little bit more. Tana Rabbanan Ari Kol Shu Tameh. We know that something that is woven, even if it's smaller than 3 etzbos size, it's going to be Makabel Tumah. Likewise, with Tachshit Kol Shu Tameh, and even a small Tachshit less than 3 by 3 etzbos is capable of Makabel Tumah. And furthermore, Arik Vit Tachshit, if it's half Arik, half Tachshit, so it doesn't have, maybe you might have thought it doesn't have the status of an Arik, doesn't have the status of a Tachshit, but together you might think it's not Tameh. Kol Shu is even Tameh, even over there. And furthermore, the final statement of the Braisa is Musaf Sak ala Beged Shatomi Mishum Arik. That a sak, when it's combined with Arik, is capable of Kabbal Tumah more so than a Beged. Normally, a Beged is more Chashiv than a sak. But here, when the sak is combined with Arik, even though it's smaller, it's still able to be Kabbal Tumah. That's what the Braisa says. So now we're going to dash from the Braisa. Amar Rava, Rava says, Arik, Koshu, Tomei, Meo Beged. So he says, how does the Braisa know that Arik of any size is capable of Kabbal Tumah? Like we said, that's from the word Obeged. How do we know Takshu Koshu Tomei? How do we know that any size Takshu, even less than 3x3 etzvos, is Tomei? Ah, mitzitz. And how do we know Orig vit Takshu, if it's half Orig, half Takshu, even any size Koshu's Tomei, that we learn out me Kol Kli Maisa. The extra word Kol Kli Maisa tells me any sort of a Kli over here, even if it's half woven, half Takshu, it's still called the Kli, and it's considered Choshev, and it's Makabo Toma. Finally, Amalu Ha'almi Rabban L'Rava. How, B'midyang Siv, wait a second, that was in regards to the Kalim for Midyan, which was dealing with Tumas Meis. Here we're talking about even Tumas Sheretz. How do we know that this applies even to Tumas Sheretz? So Rava says, Amalei, Gomar, Kli, Kli, Mehosam. That's learned out through Gzeir Shabbat. The word Kli is said in both places by Midjan, and the word Kli is also said in regards to Sheretz. So therefore, we learn out Gzeir Shabbat to compare them, that just like that din applies with a half Orig, half Kli, so too it applies by Tumas Meis, it applies as well by Tumas Sheretz. With that, we conclude today's shir.